He wandered in loneliness, weeping a little for the hardness of the world, and he journeyed up the river till he came to a stream that flowed down from the mountains, and he went that way. He caught fish in deep pools with invisible fingers and ate them raw. One day it was very hot, and as he was bending over a pool, he felt a burning on the back of his head, and a dazzling light from the water pained his wet eyes. He wondered at it, for he had almost forgotten about the sun. Then for the last time he looked up and shook his fist at her. But as he lowered his eyes, he saw far ahead the tops of the misty mountains out of which the stream came, and he thought suddenly, "It would be cool and shady under those mountains. The sun could not watch me there. The roots of those mountains must be roots indeed. There must be great secrets buried there which have not been discovered since the beginning." So he journeyed by night up into the highlands, and he found a little cave out of which the dark stream ran, and he wormed his way like a maggot into the heart of the hills, and vanished out of all knowledge. The ring went into the shadows with him, and even the Maker, when his power had begun to grow again, could learn nothing of it.
"Gollum!" cried Frodo. "Gollum, do you mean that this is the very Gollum creature that Bilbo met? How loathsome!"
"I think it is a sad story," said the wizard, "and it might have happened to others, even to some hobbits that I have known."
"I can't believe that Gollum was connected with hobbits, however distantly," said Frodo with some heat. "What an abominable notion!"
"It is true all the same," replied Gandalf. "About their origins, at any rate, I know more than hobbits do themselves. And even Bilbo's story suggests the kinship. There was a great deal in the background of their minds and memories that was very similar. They understood one another remarkably well, very much better than a hobbit would understand, say, a dwarf, or an orc, or even an elf. Think of the riddles they both knew, for one thing."
"Yes," said Frodo, "though other folk beside hobbits ask riddles, and of much the same sort. And hobbits don't cheat. Gollum meant to cheat all the time. He was just trying to put poor Bilbo off his guard, and I dare say it amused his wickedness to start a game which might end in providing him with an easy victim, but if he lost, would not hurt him."
"Only too true, I fear," said Gandalf. "But there was something else in it, I think, which you don't see yet. Even Gollum was not wholly ruined. He had proved tougher than even one of the wise would have guessed, as a hobbit might. There was a little corner of his mind that was still his own, and light came through it, as through a chink in the dark, light out of the past. It was actually pleasant, I think, to hear a kindly voice again, bringing up memories of wind and trees and sun on the grass and such forgotten things. But that, of course, would only make the evil part of him angrier in the end, unless it could be conquered, unless it could be cured." Gandalf sighed. "Alas, there is little hope of that for him. Yet not no hope. No. Not though he possessed the ring so long, almost as far back as he can remember, for it was long since he had worn it much. In the black darkness it was seldom needed. Certainly he had never faded. He is thin and tough still. But the thing was eating up his mind, of course, and the torment had become almost unbearable. All the great secrets under the mountains had turned out to be just empty night. There was nothing more to find out. Nothing worth doing, only nasty, furtive eating and resentful remembering. He was altogether wretched. He hated the dark, and he hated light more. He hated everything, and the ring most of all."
"What do you mean?" said Frodo. "Surely the ring was his precious and the only thing he cared for. But if he hated it, why didn't he get rid of it, or go away and leave it?"
"You ought to begin to understand, Frodo, after all you have heard," said Gandalf.
He hated it and loved it, as he hated and loved himself. He couldn't get rid of it. He had no will left in the matter. A ring of power looks after itself, Frodo. It may slip off treacherously, but its keeper never abandons it. At most he plays with the idea of handing it on to someone else's care, and that only at an early stage, when it first begins to grip. But as far as I know, Bilbo alone in history has ever gone beyond playing and really done it. He needed all my help, too, and even so, he would never have just forsaken it or cast it aside. It was not Gollum, Frodo, but the ring itself that decided things. The ring left him.
What? Just in time to meet Bilbo? Said Frodo. Wouldn't an orc have suited it better?
It is no laughing matter, said Gandalf. Not for you. It was the strangest event in the whole history of the ring so far. Bilbo's arrival just at that time, and putting his hand on it blindly in the dark. There was more than one power at work, Frodo. The ring was trying to get back to its master. It had slipped from Isildur's hand and betrayed him. Then, when a chance came, it caught poor Deagle, and he was murdered. And after that, Gollum, and it had devoured him. It could make no further use of him. He was too small and mean, and as long as it stayed with him, he would never leave his deep pool again. So now, when its master was awake once more, and sending out his dark thought from Mirkwood, it abandoned Gollum, only to be picked up by the most unlikely person imaginable, Bilbo from the Shire.
Behind that there was something else at work, beyond any design of the ringmaker. I can put it no plainer than by saying that Bilbo was meant to find the ring, and not by its maker, in which case you also were meant to have it, and that may be an encouraging thought.
It is not, said Frodo, though I'm not sure that I understand you. But how have you learned all this about the ring and about Gollum? Do you really know it all, or are you just guessing still?
Gandalf looked at Frodo, and his eyes glinted.
I knew much, and I have learned much, he answered. But I'm not going to give an account of all my doings to you. The history of Elendil and Isildur and the One Ring is known to all the wise. Your ring is shown to be that One Ring by the fire writing alone, apart from any other evidence.
And when did you discover that? Asked Frodo, interrupting.
Just now in this room, of course, answered the wizard sharply. But I expected to find it. I have come back from dark journeys and long search to make that final test. It is the last proof, and all is now only too clear. Making out Gollum's part, and fitting it into the gap in the history, required some thought. I may have started with guesses about Gollum, but I am not guessing now. I know. I have seen him.
You have seen Gollum? Exclaimed Frodo in amazement.
Yes. The obvious thing to do, of course, if one could. I tried long ago, but I have managed it at last.
Then what happened after Bilbo escaped from him? Do you know that?
Not so clearly. What I have told you is what Gollum was willing to tell, though not, of course, in the way I have reported it. Gollum is a liar, and you have to sift his words. For instance, he called the ring his birthday present, and he stuck to that. He said it came from his grandmother, who had lots of beautiful things of that kind. A ridiculous story. I have no doubt that Smeagol's grandmother was a matriarch, a great person in her way, but to talk of her possessing many elven rings was absurd, and as for giving them away, it was a lie, but a lie with a grain of truth. The murder of Deagle haunted Gollum, and he'd made up a defense, repeating it to his precious over and over again as he gnawed bones in the dark until he almost believed it. It was his birthday. Deagle ought to have given the ring to him. It had obviously turned up just so as to be a present. It was his birthday present, and so on and on. I endured him as long as I could, but the truth was desperately important, and in the end I had to be harsh. I put the fear of fire on him, and wrung the true story out of him, bit by bit, together with much snivelling and snarling. He thought he was misunderstood and ill-used. But when he had at last told me his history, as far as the end of the riddle game and Bilbo's escape, he would not say any more, except in dark hints. Some other fear was on him greater than mine. He muttered that he was going to get his own back. People would see if he would stand being kicked, and driven into a hole, and then robbed. Gollum had good friends now, good friends, and very strong. They would help him. Baggins would pay for it. That was his chief thought. He hated Bilbo and cursed his name. What is more, he knew where he came from.
And how did he find that out? Asked Frodo.
Well, as for the name, Bilbo very foolishly told Gollum himself, and after that it would not be difficult to discover his country once Gollum came out. Oh, yes, he came out. His longing for the ring proved stronger than his fear of the orcs, or even of the light. After a year or two he left the mountains. You see, though still bound by desire of it, the ring was no longer devouring him. He began to revive a little. He felt old, terribly old, yet less timid, and he was mortally hungry. Light of sun and moon, he still feared and hated. And he always will, I think. But he was cunning. He found he could hide from daylight and moonshine, and make his way swiftly and softly by dead of night with his pale cold eyes, and catch small frightened or unwary things. He grew stronger and bolder with new food and new air. He found his way into Mirkwood, as one would expect.
"Is that where you found him?" asked Frodo.
"I saw him there," answered Gandalf. "But before that he had wandered far, following Bilbo's trail. It was difficult to learn anything from him for certain, for his talk was constantly interrupted by curses and threats.
What had it got in its pockets?" he said. "It wouldn't say, no, precious. Little cheat. Not a fair question. It cheated first, it did. It broke the rules. We ought to have squeezed it. Yes, precious, and we will, precious."
"That is a sample of his talk. I don't suppose you want any more. I had weary days of it. But from hints dropped among the snarls, I gathered that his padding feet had taken him at last to Esgaroth, and even to the streets of Dale, listening secretly and peering. Well, the news of the great events went far and wide in Wilderland, and many had heard Bilbo's name and knew where he came from. We'd made no secret of our return journey to his home in the West. Gollum's sharp ears would soon learn what he wanted."
"Then why didn't he track Bilbo further?" asked Frodo. "Why didn't he come to the Shire?"
"Ah," said Gandalf, "now we come to it. I think Gollum tried to. He set out and came back westward, as far as the great river, but then he turned aside. He was not daunted by the distance, I'm sure. No, something else drew him away, so my friends think, those that hunted him for me. The wood elves tracked him first, an easy task for them, for his trail was fresh then. Through Mirkwood and back again it led them, though they never caught him. The wood was full of the rumour of him, dreadful tales even among beasts and birds. The woodmen said that there was some new terror abroad, a ghost that drank blood. It climbed trees to find nests. It crept into holes to find the young. It slipped through windows to find cradles. But at the western edge of Mirkwood the trail turned away. It wandered off southwards, and passed out of the wood elves' ken, and was lost. And then I made a great mistake. Yes, Frodo, and not the first, though I fear it may prove the worst. I let the matter be. I let him go, for I had much else to think of at the time, and I still trusted the law of Saruman. Well, that was years ago. I've paid for it since with many dark and dangerous days. The trail was long cold when I took it up again, after Bilbo left here, and my search would have been in vain but for the help that I had from a friend. Aragorn, the greatest traveller and huntsman of this age of the world. Together we sought for Gollum down the whole length of Wilderland, without hope and without success. But at last, when I had given up the chase and turned to other parts, Gollum was found. My friend returned out of great perils, bringing the miserable creature with him. What he had been doing he would not say. He only wept and called us cruel, with many a Gollum in his throat. And when we pressed him he whined and cringed, and rubbed his long hands, licking his fingers as if they pained him, as if he remembered some old torture. But I am afraid there is no possible doubt. He had made his slow, sneaking way, step by step, mile by mile, south, down at last to the land of Mordor. A heavy silence fell in the room. Frodo could hear his heart beating. Even outside everything seemed still. No sound of Sam's shears could now be heard.
"Yes, to Mordor," said Gandalf. "Alas, Mordor draws all wicked things, and the Dark Power was bending all its will to gather them there. The ring of the enemy would leave its mark, too, leave him open to the summons, and all folk were whispering then of the new shadow in the south and its hatred of the west. There were his fine new friends who would help him in his revenge. Wretched fool! In that land he would learn much, too much for his comfort. And sooner or later, as he lurked and pried on the borders, he would be caught and taken for examination. That was the way of it, I fear. When he was found, he had already been there long, and was on his way back, on some errand of mischief. But that doesn't matter much now. His worst mischief was done. Yes, alas, through him the enemy has learned that the One has been found again. He knows where Isildur fell. He knows where Gollum found his ring. He knows that it is a great ring, for it gave long life. He knows that it is not one of the three, for they have never been lost, and they endure no evil. He knows that it is not one of the seven or the nine, for they are accounted for. He knows that it is the One, and he has at last heard, I think, of hobbits and the Shire. The Shire, he may be seeking for it now, if he has not already found out where it lies. Indeed, Frodo, I fear that he may even think that the long unnoticed name of Baggins has become important.
But this is terrible, cried Frodo, far worse than the worst that I imagined from your hints and warnings. Oh, Gandalf, best of friends, what am I to do?
For now I'm really afraid.
What am I to do?
What a pity that Bilbo didn't stab that vile creature when he had a chance.
Pity? It was pity that stayed his hand. Pity and mercy, not to strike without need. And he has been well rewarded, Frodo. Be sure that he took so little hurt from the evil, and escaped in the end, because he began his ownership of the ring so, with pity.
I'm sorry, said Frodo, but I'm frightened, and I don't feel any pity for Gollum.
"You haven't seen him," Gandalf broke in.
"No, and I don't want to," said Frodo. "I can't understand you. Do you mean to say that you and the elves have let him live on after all these horrible deeds? Now, at any rate, he is as bad as an orc, and just an enemy. He deserves death."
"Deserves it? I dare say he does. Many that live deserve death, and some that die deserve life. Can you give it to them?" Then do not be too eager to deal out death and judgment, for even the very wise cannot see all ends. I have not much hope that Gollum can be cured before he dies, but there is a chance of it, and he's bound up with the fate of the ring. My heart tells me that he has some part to play yet, for good or ill, before the end, and when that comes, the pity of Bilbo may rule the fate of many, yours not least. In any case, we didn't kill him. He is very old and very wretched. The wood elves have him in prison, but they treat him with such kindness as they can find in their wise hearts.
All the same, said Frodo, even if Bilbo couldn't kill Gollum, I wish he hadn't kept the ring. I wish he had never found it, and that I had not got it. Why did you let me keep it? Why didn't you make me throw it away, or destroy it?
Let you? Make you? Said the wizard. Haven't you been listening to all that I have said? You are not thinking of what you are saying. But as for throwing it away, that was obviously wrong. These rings have a way of being found. In evil hands, it might have done great evil. Worst of all, it might have fallen into the hands of the enemy. Indeed, it certainly would, for this is the one, and he is exerting all his power to find it or draw it to himself. Of course, my dear Frodo, it was dangerous for you, and that has troubled me deeply. But there was so much at stake that I had to take some risk, though even when I was far away, there has never been a day when the Shire has not been guarded by watchful eyes. As long as you never used it, I did not think that the ring would have any lasting effect on you. Not for evil, not at any rate for a very long time. And you must remember that 9 years ago, when I last saw you, I still knew little for certain.
But why not destroy it, as you say should have been done long ago? Cried Frodo again. If you had warned me, or even sent me a message, I would have done away with it.
Would you? How would you do that? Have you ever tried?
No, but I suppose one could hammer it or melt it.
Try, said Gandalf. Try now. Frodo drew the ring out of his pocket again and looked at it.